Then I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. The kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
7:47, time to talk sports on the sports page on member supported KEXE KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton. Joining me now, Kyle Erickson and Fred Friedman. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
So it's exciting times, isn't it?
Opening day in a tough year. It's nice to have that little, even though it's months delayed, that little bit of normalcy to look forward to.
We need something. America needs something to talk about besides sitting at home and memorizing commercials and doing nothing and worrying about getting sick. And yeah, hey, my highlight's listening to KAXE, for goodness sakes.
Well, that's good. But what can we expect? What are you guys looking forward to specifically?
Well, I'll jump in, Fred, and then chime in. The Minnesota Twins, of course, set just about every team home run record in the books last year, and then doubled down on that by signing Josh Donaldson, a star player both in the field and at the plate, who hit 37 home runs himself last year. So I'm looking forward to seeing lots of balls fly over the fence.
I'm hoping that they can win their division. There's no reason they shouldn't. They have a very favorable schedule. And then we'll see what happens in the fall. Of course, what we all worry about is that pandemic getting even worse and people getting sick and how they're going to keep people from getting sick. It's not like having people in the stands, but gives Heidi people something to look forward to, and I'm sure the TV ratings will be high, and we'll see what happens. Yeah, but it's part of the American summer. It's part of the experience, and there's been so much taken away from us. Not our fault, and it's lasted longer than people anticipated. So yeah, I'm fired up. I admit it.
Well, I know you've talked about it before, but what will be different for the players? Of course, there won't be the crowds there, but there's some things they can't do anymore.
Yeah, no chewing tobacco, no bubble gum, no sunflower seeds, no anything in the dugout that would involve spitting, which the crew who has to clean up after the games will probably be really grateful for that, in addition to the health benefits of it. And post-game, no social life, no going out to restaurants, clubs, that sort of thing. So team building will have to take place in a very different way.
No high-fiving, no handshakes, no this. Players say that they'll miss the most is the fans. They're used to all this crowd noise and the fans that fired them up. That'll be a big deal. And I know the people that run these teams are very worried about how they're going to feed folks on the, on the road. Players are used to eating at odd hours late after game days. And how that's going to work is not clear, especially, like I said, when they're going to hotels. So it'll be a different experience. It won't be typical. It won't be normal. And we'll see what happens. But, you know, Heidi, they're not the only ones that are worried how to feed people. Universities are trying to figure out how they're going to feed people in a couple of weeks. So it's complicated.
Yeah. So the NBA and WNBA also will be starting up soon. Is that right?
NBA is next week.
Go ahead, Brad.
The big difference is, Heidi, is that the NBA and hockey, for that reason, they're playing in bubbles. In the NBA, they're all playing in Orlando. Orange County, Florida is one of the higher COVID places in the country right now. And there are, so there is no home, there is no travel, there is no planes, there is no visiting here and visiting there. Again, no fans. And a lot of this, very frankly, is trying to save the TV contract, which is, you know, way over $100 million. And that's what a lot of this is about. Now, it's not predictable how many people will watch, especially the NBA, but we'll see. So, but basically, as you know, sports, professional sports gets their money from two sources. Secondarily, ticket sales, and primarily the TV contracts. And the owners are looking to save their money.
Yeah, so the NBA season is kind of a weird continuation of the interrupted season where there's only a limited number of teams who are going to be playing a sprint to the finish. The WNBA season is going to be a little bit more regular anyway, and so it'll be interesting to see how the Lynx rebound from a first-round playoff loss. They had the Rookie of the Year last year, Nafisa Collier, really exciting young player. So they've got kind of bookends with her and Sylvia Falls, who is, I think, 34 or 35. So they've got some good veteran presence. They've got some exciting young players. And it'll be interesting to see if they can get back to making a deeper playoff run this time around.
Yeah, as a fan of the Lynx, this is the first year all of their games will be televised. That's what they
want. Oh, and that's important.
Yeah.
That's very good. Important.
Yeah, and but of all the places to have that bubble for these people to be playing sports in, huh, in Florida?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Isn't that strange? You know, and I believe that's because, I mean, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy person, but I think that's because it's in Florida. It's in facilities owned by ESPN, which is owned by ABC, which means, that, again, the TV contract is kind of running the show. That's how I look at it anyhow.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, otherwise, why pick there? Why would you select there?
Yeah.
The other big Timberwolves Lynx news, of course, is that rumor has it that Glenn Taylor, who is pretty broadly viewed as one of the worst owners in professional sports, is entertaining potential offers to sell the teams, including one suitor that's led by a group including Kevin Garnett. So it'll be interesting to see. There have been a lot of, especially Timberwolves fans, who have been calling for Taylor to sell the team for a very long time, and they just may get their wish.
So why is that? Why is Glenn Taylor seen as one of the worst?
Lack of vision for developing a strong front office, lack of draft and player development strategy, which, you know, some of that goes to general manager and player development people, but ultimately Glenn Taylor is the one making the hires and signing the checks. So, you know, the buck ultimately stops with him. And of course, for Timberwolves fans of my vintage and older, they'll remember the Joe Smith fiasco where Glenn Taylor signed an illegal deal with him that resulted in the Timberwolves getting some pretty severe penalties and loss of draft picks. Which kind of crippled the franchise for a while. So it hasn't been a great run for Mr. Taylor.
My view is, of course, keep in mind, Glenn Taylor also owns the Minneapolis Star Tribune. He's a Mankato guy. He's a Baltic gazillionaire. And he's just made error after error after error in who he's hired to run his front office. Their draft picks have been ridiculous. Kyle, my number one pick is when they picked a guy who had a mediocre college career named
Johnny Flynn?
At Syracuse. Was it Joey Flynn? Was that his name?
Johnny Flynn, yeah.
Over Curry. You know, so that's, to me, that's what the heart of it. You're only as strong as who runs your front office. I mean, come on, Heidi, it'd be like KAXE without you. It'd be a complete failure.
Yeah, the two big whiffs in Minnesota drafting history, Minnesota sports drafting history, I think, are the Timberwolves actually picked twice before Steph Curry, and they took Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio, which at least Rubio became a serviceable NBA player, but Curry's the best shooter in league history. And in Major League Baseball, in 2009, and I shudder when I think about this, the Minnesota Twins drafted Kyle Gibson a few spots in front of one Mike Trout,
yep,
who is the best player unquestionably of this generation.
So talent evaluation, it's kind of everything, whether you're, you know, whether you're a man or a woman, or what we call a suit, you know, in the front office, or whether it's, you know, player talent on the field or whatever, or talent in anything, in any business, in any operation, in any agency. I mean, the penalty's very high for selecting poorly, and the reward is very great for correct talent evaluation. It's everything. And Glenn Taylor, it has not worked out. It's the equivalent of picking generals who can't be generals, is what it is. So.
Well, before we get to our trivia from the senior correspondent, Fred, you also want to talk Edmonton.
Well, as we wondered about for a week or two ago, Edmonton did change its name 2 days ago in the Canadian Football League. They will no longer be known as the ESKOMOSs, which means that definitely the trend is that way. And, of course, the other reason that's important, I should point out, we do have a high school team in KAXE land who is known by that name. You know, Esko, Minnesota, and their high school has been the mascot of that forever. So we're going to see what happens. And the people on this call all remember when Grand Rapids was not the Thunderhawks. So, you know, it's coming. You guys know what I mean. It's coming.
The times, they are a-changing.
There you go.
All right, so you ready? You guys ready for the trivia?
Ready.
Okay. Killebrew Drive is on the southern border of what Minnesota landmark?
The Mall of America.
Your favorite place, right, Kyle? All right, so what ballpark hosted professional and Major League Baseball under Coogan's Bluff between 1880 and 1963?
It's the Polo Grounds, Kyle.
Oh, the Polo Grounds, that's what the Giants played there?
Correct.
Giants, Yankees, and Mets until 1963, north of Central Park in New York City.
Yeah, actually, the Yankees only played there until 1921 and then 23, and then they built Yankee Stadium. But it's a very far north Manhattan.
I appreciate you correcting the senior correspondent.
No problem. No,
okay.
No problem at all. Kyle, you need to know, 250 down the line, Polo Grounds, 457. The center.
Yeah, so my window into those old stadiums, real quick tangent, back when my desktop computer had 640 kilobytes of total memory was a game called Earl Weaver's Sees Baseball that had all the old parks and the old dimensions. Well, so fun to look back at those things.
Well, here's how you know this, because you've seen Willie Mays make the great basket catch back to the plate in the 54th series. That was in the Polo Grounds, and you could see the 460 or 457 side there with a 60-foot wall. Thus the question, how many home runs were hit over the wall at Polo Grounds center field in history? And the answer is easy. None.
None.
Yeah.
All right, the next question. The Cow Palace was home to what NBA team in the 1960s?
Oh, boy.
It's the Warriors. It's Golden State.
Yep, San Francisco Warriors. It was also the site for hockey, boxing, rodeos, and two performances by the Beatles.
Oh,
ooh.
Okay.
Versatile venue.
The 801 Hattrick Avenue is the address for what shrine in what city?
Is that the Hockey Hall of Fame right here in Eveleth?
It is. There we go. And Spyglass Hill is part of what popular sports venue?
Pebble Beach, the golf course.
Yep, near Monterey, California. What annual event is held at Roland Garros Stadium?
It's tennis, but I can't remember which.
I'm probably pronouncing
French Open. I think.
Yes, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. I'm not a French.
No, I think you got it right, Heidi.
Okay, Addison Sheffield and Waveland Streets border what current Major League park? Addison?
Wrigley Field, Chicago.
Wrigley Field, yep. Yeah.
Between 1925 and 1957, what Pacific Coast League minor league ballpark was home for the Los Angeles Angels and the Hollywood Stars?
Oh, boy.
That was also called Wrigley Field in California,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, exactly. And what major league ballpark is a few blocks from Kenmore Square?
Fenway, Boston.
And our final one, the topic that you love, Fred. What city hosted the 1960 Olympics in which track stars Wilma Rudolph and Rafer Johnson and the U.S. men's basketball team with Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, and Jerry Lucas all won gold medals?
Yeah, 1960 was in Rome, Italy.
There we go. Well,
Kyle and Hattie, I have a movie, the tape that everybody wants, and that's Bob Costas doing a two-hour interview in Rome Olympics with five youngsters. I'll think of these names: Rafer Johnson, Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, Wilma Rudolph, and Cassius Clay. And Wilma Rudolph, who won the 100 meters, comes home to her home in Tennessee, and she can't even have a parade because the town was segregated. When she's wearing two American gold medals around her, she can't even have a parade in her hometown after representing America in Rome.
Hmm. Well, Fred, Kyle, thanks so much for being with us today. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
You're welcome. Stay healthy, everybody.
And take it.